Good morning. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. Let's read. We're going to read from verse 1 through 9 and then pick it up again at 18. Okay? All right. Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and great multitudes gathered to him, so he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole multitude was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. And others fell upon the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Let's pick this up again in 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. On the one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary, and when affliction or persecution arises, because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, and indeed bears fruit, brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Amen. We've been talking this week regarding the drama of salvation and the mystery as well. And we can't go a week without talking about this until we get to the parable of the sower. Now, if you look at this, there has been some different interpretations, whatnot. But one thing that we can draw very easily is 1/4 of the message is actually going to be received. This is one of the takeaways that we can figure this out. In other words, witnessing, sharing Christ with others, it's not an easy task. 1/4, I mean, that's 25%. In most settings, that would be considered a failure, probably except in baseball. In baseball, it's actually an average batting average. But outside of that, this would be considered a huge failure that you only succeed 25% of the time. And so it begs for us to look in here to figure out what it is. Now, there has been some teaching in the past that have said, well, only 25% of the people will actually receive the message. And they use passages like, you know, narrow is a gate, the road less chosen, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think that's what Jesus is saying here. I think Jesus is identifying really 4 different types of people, or I should say in a better way, 4 different types of an attitude of the heart. I say this because probably, I mean, you can look at your own life, but probably somewhere down the road, you were in any of these 4 stages yourself. You were probably in the beginning very opposed to the message, thought the Christians were a bunch of idiots, you know, thought that they were weak people, you know, and et cetera, and all these kind of things you hear. And then there could have been a time where you received the message, wow, it was great, but you were so young that as soon as worry, as soon as the situations in the world, as soon as your girlfriend came in the picture, whatever it may be, it snatched out the message. Or, you know, it could be the third one is the thorns, right? And it's just, you know, just worrying about so many things. And so this could really be different stages in people's lives. And then finally they get to the place where it's very fertile soil. And so really, I think this parable is really more than anything else, it's a lesson on prayer. It's a lesson of how do we specifically pray for people in different stages of their life. I shared before that there was an old missiologist, his name was Engel. And Engel came up with this idea, he called it the Engel Scale, and which kind of talks about what I'm going to talk about here. And the Engel Scale was a really basic idea that said that someone doesn't come to Christ in 0 to 20. It doesn't happen so fast. It goes through different stages, and he called it the scale. And he says that like someone could be at home and see like some television show and where Christianity is talked about very favorably. And what Engel would say is then this person has just moved up the scale. Next thing you know, this person meets a colleague who happens to be a Christian, who's a very hard worker, and then all of a sudden, his view of Christianity becomes a little more favorable, and so he moves up the scale again. And so he has a scale that goes from, I thought it was 0 to 10. Actually, I heard it's actually 0 to 100. And he has this scale, and 100, meaning that this person is like a martyr. I mean, you know, it's like Jesus, basically. And so 0, meaning he just really hates God, but they move along this scale. And I think that's very akin to what Jesus is trying to tell us here as well. That there's every person at different stages of their life, there's different receptivities to the gospel. And there are moments, and people will have this, there will be moments in people's lives where they will be more open than other times. And this is where the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, this is where you know, each of us, as we walk with God, that we become very aware and we align ourselves to the Spirit, and we can come and intercede and interact with people. And so let's look at this parable. Some are really, really obvious, okay? First of all, the sower is the witness, okay? The sower is us. We are the ones that are sowing the seed. And so it's important for us to recognize that. The seed is the Word of God. You know, it's the testimony of Christ. The seed is the Word, Word of God, not necessarily just meaning the Scriptures. I think it's bigger than that. But it's the life and message of Jesus Christ in their life. And so the sower, it's us. We're the witnesses. The seed is the Word of God. And the soil by which this Word of God, this life of Jesus is being planted is the heart. Remember, we've been talking about the last few weeks that the heart is very, very important. And so this aspect too, this is the heart. Notice one thing in this, and we're going to talk about the four different types, I don't want to say types of hearts. I want to say more accurately the condition or the timing of their heart in this regard. Because people don't have four different hearts. They have their different timing of where their heart is at certain places. And so the one aspect, though, that we need to recognize is how intricately involved the devil is when it comes to these matters of salvation. It says there in verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one whom seed was sown beside the road. And so we recognize, wow, the enemy really is at work. This really, more than anything else, is a passage on prayer and spiritual warfare. We should recognize that whenever we're witnessing, whenever we're meeting with people and sharing about Christ or whatnot, we better be prayed up. There should be a level of warfare that we recognize that we're entering in, because the evil one comes and he snatches away. And so, you know how the scriptures tell us that the word of God will not return void, and it will accomplish his purposes. And so when the word of God goes out, what is happening? The enemy is literally snatching that. Now, we as Christians, we believe that there's going to be an effect. And so it's going to, in time and somehow, the effect is going to happen. But the reality is the devil comes and he snatches that word away. There's a lot of warfare that comes into this picture of how that goes. I should do a little bit of background of this. When he's talking about these four different areas of soil, in obviously we are not farmers and we don't quite understand. I'm not a farmer either, but I read, okay, so I can grasp the idea of what Jesus is saying. And he's talking about the four different types of soil. And this is actually very common. Every person in first century Palestine would understand what Jesus was saying. And so the idea is when the farmer goes out to sow, he's obviously tilled the land and whatnot. And it's on that land by which fruit will come up, the crops and everything come. Now, sometimes if you notice, when they scatter seeds kind of go all over the place. And so some of the seed actually went to rocky soil. In other words, it wasn't meant for farming at all. It's another interpretation, okay? And so the seed gets thrown, and it's just way on the wayside. It was never meant to produce any harvest, and it's not going to at all. And then the next soil that he goes, it says it's the hard places. Now, generally what happens in a lot of these farms, there are walkways by which the farmers and people would walk. This is actually would be the edge of the farm. And if you remember, the Hebrew farmers were always meant to keep some of their gleanings, some of their harvest for visitors and foreigners and people around there. It was actually an offering to the poor. And so, but they would put those crops on this hard ground. I mean, not the seed, but the actual fruit of the harvest. This is a place where the word just can't go deep. The seed can't go deep because the ground has been hardened because of it's become a walkway or a path. And then the next place that comes, let's go back to this. So the rocky places, there's not much soil, and then the sun were scorched. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out, and other on the good soil. And so then, you're dealing with a farm that's been unkept, basically, and it never really reaches the soil in this way. So, I mean, there's four other ways of different ways of looking at the parable in this way. I mean, it's just a little background thing. And so, but let's get to what we're trying to say today. And so, again, we're not talking about four different types of hearts, but we are talking about maybe four different conditions or four different timings in someone's life where there's more receptivity than anything else. I think the key for us to really understand this is to understand the person that you're witnessing to, exactly what stage are they at? Where are they lined up on this angle scale? What is the condition of their life right now? Is it just totally don't want anything to do with God? This would be the rocky soil. The enemy is just going to come and snatch it away. Because when you understand that, your approach should be different. This is you're not going to have an intellectual conversation with this kind of person. It would be no use giving this person a Bible for Christmas. It's probably won't be that fruitful to probably the best approach in this matter is actually build a relationship. It's just strike a friendship. For whatever reason, the heart has become very, very hardened. And so your approach is to help the person to soften their heart. And generally that happens out of relationship. Your prayer in that same way would ask God to break their heart. That would be the prayer objective to someone who's this hard soil and we're related to a hard heart in this way. And so wayside soil. it's hard. What we do, pray, right, that the heart must be broken. The second heart is what we call the shallow heart. And this is the stony soil. This is fertile, but it has no depth, and so it can't grow. And so what we do for the shallow heart, and when someone is operating this, this is when you give them a Bible for Christmas. This is when you start talking to them about the things of God. There's receptivity, but it's just very, very shallow. And your prayer is to go a little deeper. Your prayer for them is for them to have some depth. The heart would be given some depth in their life. It's for you to really come alongside and teach them about the things of God, and create that depth in their heart. The other heart, the third one, is what we call a worldly heart. This is the thorny soil. This is fertile, but distracted. This is a person that kind of knows, but is really, really loving the world and quite involved in the world and their possessions. And, you know, I mean, people go through these stages in their life. A worldly heart needs to be taught, and an approach for us needs to be taught that the things of the world are temporal. Need to be taught that what you have is, and this is kind of an opening for maybe some deeper discussion, again, more Bible study, prayer, to really help this person recognize the folly of this life in this world. And generally, this is probably a place where you draw a little deeper in intimacy with this person, because invariably in this situation, generally what happens, and obviously I'm adding to the text here now, but generally what happens is the person encounters some kind of brokenness. And then, because there's a reality, they find out, oh, this is really temporary. Maybe their whole life was about their girlfriend or their boyfriend, or their whole life was about sports, or, you know, making money, or something like that. And invariably, when that happens, that world is going to crash. Because we know it's temporal. That thing will never satisfy that person. And then what happens is they'll come to this place where, in a vacuum, will start in their hearts, and they realize, because that thing will be gone, and they'll be looking for something else. And so this is where a deeper relationship really comes in, and you're able to help this person to really draw closer to God in this way, and especially when they come into this place of brokenness. And they come and just really beaten up, and maybe even, how can I say, disillusioned with life and whatnot. And then you're able to come in and really share about the eternality of Christ. I don't even know if that's a word, but, you know, the eternal nature of Christ. And then you go from there. And so that you pray, that your prayer point is, Lord, show this person that the things of the world are temporal, that there's so much more. You know, what profits a man if he should gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? And really begin to pray to this end. Now the last one is what we call an understanding heart. This is good soil. This is fertile and prepared. And this soil is going to reap 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. Actually, I don't know why Jesus does this backwards, but, you know, 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. And this is a really a wonderful time in people's lives. And where they come to a good place. They're not distracted by the world, and they're able to really take in everything that God has for them. And so these are different ways. Now, I want to turn the table on you a little bit this morning in terms of our prayer and our devotion. I know we're talking a lot about other people you know, what kind of soil are they? You know, how are they doing? All this kind of stuff. But let me turn the tables and let me challenge you this morning. What kind of soil do you have today? Are you the understanding heart? Are you the worldly heart? This morning, are you the hard heart? Are you the shallow heart? I think probably we can have a very good assessment of where our hearts are at this morning. You know, you guys that are here and you guys that are listening online, where is your heart today? Is your heart fertile by which the words and commands of God come in? And, man, you are just totally satisfied? Or are you a worldly heart? Is your eyes wandering everywhere, trying to find satisfaction and in so many different things instead of in God? No, or is your heart just really shallow? Just really no depth there. And very easily the worries of the world and these things just really take you away from these things. Or, I mean, the worst thing is your heart just really hard. Have you not heard God's voice in a long time and just been quite distant in your heart before the Lord? And, you know, I mean, no one can answer this question but yourself. And so let's go before the Lord today. I know we're talking about evangelism and, you know, salvation and whatnot, but let's take a moment and let's look at our own hearts. What is Holy Spirit saying to you today? And the great thing is, you know, obviously I didn't say that to condemn you or anything like that. You know, it's an invitation. This is an invitation from God this morning to come into intimacy, to come into love, to come into grace, to come into forgiveness, to come into reconciliation. Let me invite you to go before the Lord as we sing. Thank you. Let's do two things this morning. One, let's pray for the people that you're ministering to. You know, a healthy Christian life, you should always have at least one or two people that you're always ministering to. In terms of, I'm talking about like, in terms of salvation, it should always be a few people that you're always witnessing to. If you're not doing that, then there's something wrong with your walk. Right? We are called here to be witnesses. And there should be a few people in our lives, constantly in our lives, that we're always sharing the message of the gospel with. And so, and if you have those people, I want to encourage you to just lift them up right now before the Lord. The other side of it too is talking about hearts. Right? You can identify where your heart is at. Maybe your heart has become quite cold to the Lord. You're just kind of going through the motions in some way. Talk to God about it. Make sure that your heart is fertile, understanding, always abounding in fruit and righteousness. And let's pray. So let's pray for our friends and let's pray for ourselves this morning. Let's go to our community prayer focus and let's pray for our friends battling illness and disease. And let's pray for God's hand and healing word on their lives. Let's pray for those that are ill but also need to meet with Jesus. Let's pray that God would send witnesses and to minister effectively, but also let's pray that their heart would be understanding and open and fertile and receptive to the gospel. Let's pray. Let's pray for others that have illnesses that are non-cancer related, that know Christ. Let's pray that the Lord would really come through and bring that healing word over their lives. And let's lift them up. Let's pray for our friends looking for work. Let's pray Holy Spirit would just really provide for them and really lead them during this time. Let's go to our ministry prayer focus. Let's pray for Hong Kong today. Let's pray for the local ministries and the churches. Let's pray for YWAM. Ask God's hand to be with them. I'll pray for Sports Services International. There's actually a luncheon today that I'll be going to with their staff. And I just ask just to bless that time. Pray for Godwin and Shanti, Fabi, Frank at Master's Beauty. Pray for sons and daughters, face-to-face, Feed the Hungry, CSW, our friends ministering here. Just pray for God's provision, God's anointing, God's protection, God's wisdom as they minister. And just really use their gifts and abilities to love Hong Kong. Let's bless Hong Kong and this place around us. Let's pray for our missions committee. Let's pray for Pastor Huge, Jamie, John, Sarah, Kiwan, and Janella. Pray for God's wisdom, God's heart for the lost and for missions to really flow through each of these leaders. Pray, I know they're praying about adding new members. Pray for just to hear God's voice regarding people to approach to add. Well, let's just lift up the committee. Let's pray for the local outreach. Pray for the community center, Agape, the English and Computer, the homeless ministry, SP Lights, prison ministry, Mother's Choice, and the translation ministry. Let's ask God to bless the leaders and all the volunteers that come out. Pray for divine appointments every time they would go and minister, and for real encouragement of fruit for these guys that are going out. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Well, let's pray for the government. Let's pray for the economic situation here in Hong Kong. Pray for a revival. Pray that the Holy Spirit would just breathe on this city. It'd be really a city on a hill, a light to China. Let's just lift up government officials and institutions and ask for righteousness to flow. Let's pray for tonight. Let's pray for all the things going on tonight. Pray for IP, the college kids. Pray for McCain House Church and the river. Let's ask the Lord to just bask each of our gatherings in the Holy Spirit, and that there would be a real divine connection with God and with one another because His presence is with us. Let's cover tonight. Lord, we thank you, God, this morning. God, we thank you for the reminder again, Lord, to check our hearts, God, to make sure that it's fertile before you, Lord. And in that as well, God, we just pray for our friends, God, that they would also, Lord, have hearts that are fertile before you. God, we thank you, God. We love you, Lord. Watch over us, God, this day. Help us to give glory to your Son, Jesus, in all that we do. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Enjoy a great prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.